table, cards on the table, and I'm believing what we found. If we can't trust the love in us.
What is going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed, also known as King Flex, also known as Tariq Elite. And we're going to chop up some good game on today's show. The call-in number is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call up if you have questions. And what we're going to do now, family, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and I mean very quick. And when we get back, we'll be right back to chop up game right here on Tariq Elite Radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you have a business or a brand? Then you need a website that sets you apart. Blackline Web Design offers you an affordable website that would exceed your expectations. Websites start at just $200. You'll get a customized website with amazing features. You can get social media icons so that followers can interact with you immediately. Grow your brand and increase your sales with a professional website today. They have a 5-star Google rating, and that work speaks for itself. Visit them today and save 10% off with the coupon code that says Tariq. That's BlacklineWebDesign.com. Again, BlacklineWebDesign.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's up, family? We are back right here on Tariq Elite Radio. I told you we're going to have a real quick commercial break. We're back immediately, ready to chop up game. And don't forget, family, go to TariqElite.com to get all the fresh gear, the fresh shirts, the flag, the Melanoid Nation flag, the Flex Step boots. It's getting a little chilly. You're going to need them boots to keep them ankles warm. The Tariq Elite sunglasses, so you can look fly in the winter. You can wear the sunglasses in the winter and make it do what it do. Holler at me. I'm going to go to South Africa next month. I want to know which part to go to. If anybody's been to South Africa, I want to know some of your experiences. Email me. My email is kflex4life@yahoo.com. Let me know which part of South Africa it's the best part to go to. We're thinking about Cape Town or Johannesburg. We're trying to decide, but we're going next, well, in November. Next month is October, and October is a couple of days from now. But we're going to go to South Africa, and I want to get some information from those who've been there and also those from there, because I got a lot of listeners from South Africa. So holler at me, all of my South African listeners, so we can possibly politic and network when I come on out there. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get a couple of calls before I get into the ism. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq. This is Chadwick from Fairfield, California. I have a question. How do you macro a woman without having a car? Like, I got all the other conditions. I live on my own and everything. I got a nice paying job. I'm an independent contractor. How do you get your macro on without having a car, though?
Well, what you got to start doing is hollering at the ladies who have cars. I mean, when I didn't have a car, sometimes I had a car, sometimes I didn't. You know, you got to holler at the ones with the rides. You dig?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's what you got to do. And don't let the car situation fuck your game up, because, again, you're working on getting a car, right? You're working on getting your money together, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm saying that.
Yeah, so you're going to have a car in no time, so don't let that detour your game. You know, just let a female know if she asks where your ride is. Just say, hey, look, I'm working on some things right now, and I'm getting my ride together pretty soon, but I'm trying to holler at you still. Always have confidence no matter what your situation is. Always have confidence about it, because if you're insecure about your situation, that insecurity is going to seep through in your ism, and the woman is going to feel that. You understand?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So women, they respect confidence no matter where it's coming from, and you can be confident about any situation you're in. Don't let that shit fuck with your confidence. Because, look, I've had cases, and I've told women when I dated them, I'm like, look, you're going to have to go to court with me and say I was with you on such and such a day. You know, I would let them know. You dig?
Hell yeah.
Let them know your situation. You dig? And don't be ashamed. Don't be down in the dump about it. Just step your game up and let people know that you got the confidence enough to get up out of your situation that you're in now. You feel me? But you're going to be all right. So thanks for the call, fam.
All right, definitely, man. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Always keep your game tight. I had a pimp friend back in the 90s who took his hoe to the track on a bus. He was down in Atlanta. When I went down to Atlanta, I had a pimp friend down in Atlanta. And let me tell you something. It was some heavy pimping going on down in Atlanta in the 90s. I had a lot of pimp friends down there, man. I had one pimp partner, man. This dude used to take his hoe to the track on the bus and MARTA. I'm not exaggerating either. He was a stomp down P. But something happened with his ride. He was like, look, don't worry about this ride. You going to the track. Let me just get this bus pass real quick, and we're going to get this paper. But don't let a lack of transportation fuck your game up. You dig? Just holler at some women who got their ride, and they come scoop you up, and y'all make it do what it do. Let me get a couple of other calls before I get into the ism. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up?
Who's calling?
What's up? This is D-Block from Columbus, Ohio.
What's up, D-Block from Columbus? Okay, we got a little echo going on, brother. All right, D-Block.
All right, D-Block.
What's on your mind, man?
Man, I wanted to talk about polygamy, man. I feel like we really need to start a movement now that gay marriage has been approved. I feel like it's in the player's nature to have multiple women, and we don't really talk about that a lot. You know, we do a lot of hiding and lying. Well, not we, but just men in general. And I just really think we need to get this movement popping.
Okay, so you want to get a polygamy movement popping. Hello?
You said what?
So you basically, you want to get a polygamy movement popping where you can, you know, openly have multiple wives, right?
Yeah, but I feel like it has to start on the social level first because, you know, I got my crew and, you know, everybody knows about each other and we cool, but everybody looking at me the side eye like, oh, you're a womanizer, you're this and you're that, and just go through a lot of needless nonsense about it.
Okay, let me ask you this, brother. Let me ask you this, because a lot of cats get on that whole polygamy thing, especially a lot of the a lot of hotep dudes. A lot of them get on that, and I'm not saying you're a hotep dude, by the way. But let me ask you this. Let's say you get seven wives. You get seven of them, and they all living in your spot. Now, what are you going to do to provide for these seven women? Because the average nigga now can't provide for one.
Right.
So what are you going to do to provide for seven women when the average dude has to run and get put on child support and scrape up money and duck and dodge for one? You dig?
Nah. Yeah, I definitely dig that. But I think it should be within your means. I think, you know, most brothers that got their stuff together can handle two or maybe three at the most. So what I'm saying is, if you all have a unit and everybody's working, everybody's handling business, everybody has a job, you take care of the kids, we go to work, it's really actually conducive to a good household.
But the thing is, brother, but a lot of, in our day and age, look in certain black areas now, cats can barely make ends meet with one woman. There's nothing in these so-called black areas. We don't own nothing. We don't control nothing. We don't have any multinational corporations. We don't have a plethora of strong black businesses like we used to. We have to struggle with our independent black schools. And this is just niggas dealing with one woman. So why not focus on building something in these communities, and then we can start talking about bringing in all the wives and all that old stuff? Wouldn't that make more sense?
Yeah, that makes clear sense, but what I'm saying is it all starts with a strong family unit. You know, we have a lot of single mothers out here with no male leadership in the home. They think they're running everything. There's no father figure. They need leadership. I mean, you might work hard, but just because you work hard doesn't make you good to lead a household.
They do need leadership. They do, but the thing is, these dudes right here, we got a lot of dudes now who need leadership. You got a lot of dudes who are not fit to be leaders of anything. That's
exactly
the problem. So the last thing they need to do, is fuck up eight women's lives, and they shit ain't together. You niggas out here, I'm not talking about you, bro. I'm just saying it. Let's just be real. In general, we got dudes out here who have to get their asses wiped. Basically, you got dudes on that baby boy shit. How, they're not going to be able to provide for no 7 and 8 women. They can. These niggas are living with their mom now these days. Man, yeah. Dudes are barely providing for themselves. So let me just cut it short and just get to the point. My suggestion is that we need more people building something, building an infrastructure, building a sustainable society that can sustain each other economically, because what creates the dependent black female is the lack of resources generated by brothers out here. And I understand we're in a system of white supremacy where they sabotage us on every level. I understand that. But we got to always stay cognizant of that and still try to build and create our economy and get our resources and our wealth together. So if we do decide to have 8 wives, 7 wives, 100 fucking wives, you can do that. Because I'm not the moral police. I don't talk about shit from a moral perspective. I'm talking about things from a practical perspective. And a bum nigga out here with 8 women in the house, all you're going to do is create 8 bummy women and a bunch of bummy kids. You dig?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But that's not really what I'm saying too much, though. Like, you know, there's raggedy dudes creating that situation anyway.
Yeah.
But if you take a dude that does have his stuff together and he can take 2 chicks or save her from one of these bums that we're talking about, they can stop messing with these bums. And, hey, you may be sharing a dude, but you're sharing a good dude instead of having your own raggedy dude.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm coming from, too. And it wouldn't be 7 or 8. That's ridiculous.
Right.
But about 2 or 3.
Right.
You know.
Well, we have a low-level version of that now. Niggas are doing that now. They juggling 2 and 3 women now. They're real dusty with it, you dig? So we already have that. They just don't provide for them. That's the thing. You dudes having these polygamous relationships, and these women know each other. Go back to the Baby Boy movie. I made a reference to that in the movie Baby Boy. The baby moms knew that the Jody character was fucking this one and fucking that one. They knew. But they were just going along with it and just getting a little Section 8 in the county because Massa was taking care of everything. So you got to start thinking like a boss instead of a buck. And too many niggas think like slave bucks when it comes to having multiple women. It's just like I'm just getting my dick off instead of I'm getting my money together. I'm getting a family structure together. They don't look at it like that. The only people who look at it like that are P's, P.I.s, pimps. Those are only people who look at it as building an economy. But people look at that as exploitive, and that's another thing. But anyway, man, thanks for the call, fam. All right. I could have went on and on about that. A lot of stuff going on in the news, fam. You know, there was a white police officer shot in South Carolina today. There was a white police officer today who was shot not too long ago, a few hours ago, as a matter of fact. And he was shot by a black suspect, allegedly shot by a black suspect. We don't know if the guy did it or not, but that's the suspect. The cop died, by the way. The cop is dead. And the white supremacist is already up in arms. Oh, he's another thug. And now, pretty soon, they're going to start wheeling out a bunch of black people to start apologizing and copping pleas. All right. But one thing I noticed, they put up a GoFundMe page for this cop who got killed. And the GoFundMe page has raised like $30,000 within a few hours. And that just goes to show how the dominant society, they circle their wagons when something happens to them at the hands of a black person. They immediately circle their wagons and get on code and start throwing their money around because they know that money is power. It's been a couple of hours and these people raised $30,000. No questions asked, no arguing, nothing. When they see a black attack, because we're in war and they look at it as war, when they see one of the soldiers on their camp wounded or harmed, they immediately get on code. And they tell you why they're raising the money. Just like when they raised that money for Darren Wilson, they were like, look, kill more niggas. Thank you for killing a nigga. And when one of them get hurt, they said, oh, that nigga got you, but we're gonna regroup. So just suspect a bunch of bedwinches and coons to hop on TV, cop and please, with the whole what about black on black crime bullshit. And by the way, when people say what about black on black crime, you know, that's a code. The white supremacists use that as a code of saying, well, you can't do shit about white supremacy, so I'm going to deflect. That's all that means. whenever you talk about white supremacy and they start talking about what about black on black crime, that means, well, you can't do shit about white supremacy anyway, Negro. So let's change the subject. That's all that means. And again, these white supremacists, man, they know how to do stuff behind the scenes like it's nothing. And they plan and they plot on us all the time. A lot of the white supremacists will say stuff to black people like, well, it's not like white people are sitting around plotting on you all the time. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's exactly what the white supremacists do. See, that's a myth. See, that's a myth they like to promote, that they ain't thinking about us. Yes, they are. The white supremacists sit up day and night coming up with ways to harm us, disenfranchise us, or keep us under the bus. That's why when you listen to secret recordings of people like Donald Sterling and all these people, what they doing? They talking about us, talking crazy about us. When you look at the emails of police officers sending emails back and forth, they're sitting around making nigga jokes and talking about black folks. When they hacked Sony movie studios' emails, what were they doing? Just sending emails back and forth talking shit about black people. They constantly sit up and plan and plot against us. Don't let them fool you, making you think that, oh, we ain't thinking about you. We're just going on about our lives. White supremacist culture is harming black people. That's part of the culture. Down in Florida, there was a secret recording made of this lady. I forgot her name. It was a white lady. She was sitting up trying to plot against this black district lady, this black politician. She was trying to get her out of office by rezoning a certain area in Florida. This white lady was talking about how we need to rezone the area so that all the black people that's counted for are actually in prison. They wanted to rezone this certain part of Florida where it's a high black population, because what they do, they count people in prison as part of the population. So this white lady was going to rezone the area so that the prisons would be in the zone and it would be counted for. A lot of black people are in the area, but they can't vote. And that would get the black politicians out of office. So these white supremacists are devious about how they plan and plot on us. Don't let them make you think they ain't plotting on us. I just saw a video recently. We're going to put it up on Melanoid Nation. Shout out to my staff at Melanoid Nation, by the way. And also, we do need more volunteer writers for Melanoid Nation, too. We bring the heat at Melanoid Nation. MelanoidNation.org. By the way, y'all make y'all donations to MelanoidNation.org, by the way. And email me if you want to volunteer as a writer at MelanoidNation.org. Email me at info@TariqElite.com. But I just saw a video recently where there was these white supremacist politicians sitting around a table at a meeting plotting to kill Robert Mugabe out of Zimbabwe. They were literally sitting around a table. There's a secret video that was taped of them plotting to kill Mugabe. So they do sit around and plan and plot all the time. And speaking of Florida, there was about a year or so ago, it was a 13-year-old black girl, not 13, she was 16, I think. She was a 16-year-old black girl who did a science project, and there was a story that came out about this recently. She did a science project where she showed her friends in the hallway her science project, where she mixed up some kind of concoction that created a volcano, and she mixed it up, and the top popped off the cap. It didn't hurt anybody, but this was for a science project. Now, this little black girl got arrested, charged with a felony. She had to finish her junior year at an alternative school. They booked her, put it in juvie. So they ended up dropping the charges. But now, years later, this girl has had a hard time getting into college now. So her life was pretty fucked up from her science project. No apologies, no nothing. Now, look at the little Sudanese boy over in Texas, and I talked about this on my Ustream show not too long ago. They're still kissing that little boy's ass from Sudan. Well, his family is from Sudan. And for those who don't know, there was a kid who made a clock, and the clock kind of looked like a bomb, and he took it to school, and he got arrested. They handcuffed him. They booked him. But what happened was, all of a sudden, everybody started apologizing to this dude. Obama started apologizing to him, saying, hey, Ahmed, we're going to bring you to the White House. And all these major corporations started offering him jobs and internships and giving him props. And the head of Facebook shouted him out. And Hillary Clinton, I think she shouted him out. All of these people started kissing this kid's ass. Now, he's from Sudan. Well, his family's from Sudan. And that's the reason why they were kissing his ass. Not because they were sorry that they gaveled him up. They were, and I said this on Ustream, they were kissing his ass because his family's from the Sudan. So this boy has a nationality, and a nationality that will protect him. And the thing is, the U.S., they don't want to get in bad with the Sudan government, because black folks can be kicked around and shitted on because we have no rights. We simply have no rights. We have no protection. I tell black people that all the time. That's something that we have to accept. We have no rights and we have no protection. Forget about what the 14th Amendment and all that says. A law means nothing if you don't have the power to enforce it. And nobody's enforcing the laws for us. So we have no rights. If we can't enforce it and nobody's willing to enforce it for us, we don't have equal protection. But this kid, Ahmed, who made that clock that looked like a bomb, he's part of the Sudan culture. His family's from Sudan. And the United States, they're trying to go over there and get some of that oil that they found over there in the Sudan. And you can't go around fucking up their citizens and people who are part of the Sudan culture and think you're going to get in good with them. So the U.S. is apologizing, backsliding, backpedaling, kissing this kid's ass like crazy. Because you can't mistreat people from other cultures. You can't do that. Now, you can't treat other international black people the way you treat black people here. Because we're at a disadvantage. Because we have no protection, we don't have any kind of punishing mechanisms. Whereas other cultures, if you harm one of their citizens or people from their culture, they can say, hey, look, if you're harming my people, you ain't coming over here getting none of this oil. You're not going to come over here waving your finger talking about we got human rights violations. You're not going to do that. So we got to understand the game from that perspective. Now, let me get into the topic of today's show. I digress. Now, today's topic on the show is the Othello myth. Today's topic is the Othello myth. Now, what does that mean? Now, Othello is a play that was written in the early 1600s by William Shakespeare. And the Othello myth is something that's applicable to this day. And I'm going to tie it in. I'm going to tell you how it's applicable. But the Othello myth is this. The story of Othello was written by William Shakespeare. It's a tragedy about a black man, an African, who they called Moors at the time. He's a Moor. He was a Moorish general in a Venetian army over in Italy. And he had a relationship with a European white woman named Desdemona. Now, let's go back. The story of Othello comes from another story called A Moorish Captain, written by an Italian poet named Cinthio in the 1500s. Now, why is this significant? Because, again, after the 1400s, they had something called the Inquisition, where they were getting the Moors out of power in certain parts of Europe. In 1492, they got the Moors out of power in Spain. They got all the Moors out of power. And you did have Moors in places like Italy, Sicily. You had them all over. And they were still getting the Moors out of power in some of those areas, too. And again, whenever you hear the word Moor, you're talking about an African. We're talking about black folks. And again, they had all these stories talking about the Moors and the danger of race mixing and interracial mixing and keeping the country pure and all that. That's what it was really about. But when you look at Othello, the story of Othello is about this Moorish captain. He fell in love and married a white woman named Desdemona. Now, something in the story is very interesting. In the story of Othello, Desdemona's family accused Othello of drugging her. Their thing was, Othello must have drugged you for you to want to marry him. So now this is where we see the birth of the whole thing where the white supremacists try to make it seem like we have to drug white women to be with them. It goes back as far as Othello. That's where we first see that whole thing. It was a way to just to almost shame white women and also give the white population justification to harm black people, because if a white woman wanted a black man, he must have drugged her. And we see that in the Othello story. And later on in the Othello story, he ended up killing Desdemona. And that's another thing that the white supremacists to this day, they tell white women, if you date a black man, he's going to end up killing you. That's what happened with the whole O.J. Simpson thing. That's why they were so hell-bent on getting O.J., because that was like the Othello story. And on a side note, the name Othello, during the 60s and 70s, if you look at the FBI files, there was an informant, because the FBI, they didn't have a lot of black informants at the time and agents. And they had a black informant named Dothard Perry, and his code name in the FBI files was Othello. If you look at the FBI files and you see the from the 1960s and early 70s, and if you see the name Othello pop up, they're talking about a dude named Dothard Perry. So again, Othello, it's almost synonymous with black. When you look at the movies about Othello or the stage plays, they always use a black man to play Othello. But I digress as far as that. But let's go to modern times. Even now, the white supremacists like to use that whole myth of black men drugging white women and making them do things. Just like with pimps. I was talking about pimps earlier. When in the early 1900s, when we started to see a lot of pimps pop up in the United States, even now, one myth that they like to propagate is that they turn white women out by drugging them. That's a real big myth about pimps, which they don't do that. Majority of pimps don't have to drug white women. They choose to get in the game for the most part. I was looking at a movie the other day. My wife was looking at something. I don't know if it was on the Lifetime channel, a Logo channel, one of those so many channels out there now. But there was a movie about Anna Nicole Smith. Y'all remember her? Anna Nicole Smith, she was this model, a guest model, then she became a plus size model, a white lady, drug addict white lady. She was all over the place, real flighty, real dingy. And she became very popular because, I mean, she had a show on E! And the whole shebang, but she married this old white millionaire, and, you know, there was a whole thing about her getting his money, and, you know, she was just all over the place with it. And I'm looking at this movie about her life the other day, and there was a scene where, after she got married to that old white millionaire, she had to do a photo shoot over in Europe somewhere, in Germany somewhere. And in the photo shoot, you know, there was a black guy working on the set, and she was kind of making Google eyes at the black guy. And now Anna Nicole, throughout the movie and throughout her life, she fucked everybody. She screwed everything that wasn't screwed down. But in this one scene, it was very interesting in this scene, in this TV show. She's making Google eyes at the black guy, and then she goes back to her hotel room. They show her taking Quaaludes, and then she ends up having sex with the black guy. Now, it was very interesting that they did that. They show her drugging herself and then having sex with the black guy. Now, they didn't show her drugging herself in any other scene in the show, in the movie. But it was very interesting that they showed her doing that before she had sex with the black guy. So that implied the only reason she had sex with the black guy is because she was on Quaaludes. That was very interesting, and that was very deliberate that they did that. Because you didn't need no Quaaludes to fuck no Anna Nicole at that time. She screwed everything. And we see the same thing happening with the Bill Cosby thing. That Bill Cosby thing goes back to the whole Othello myth. That Bill Cosby had to drug all these women with Quaaludes in order to have sex with them. He had to slip it in their drinks. And see, that's the whole thing where they can clear their name within the white society. Because white women are told not to have sex with black guys. Because white dudes a lot of times tell them, well, I don't want you if you had sex with a black guy. Even in the porn industry. The women in the porno industry, they have to do all types of degrading porn and before they get to do interracial scenes. Because of the insecurities of the white supremacist males watching porn. Now, a lot of these porn women and the white women in porn, that they have sex with black people in their private lives. But on screen, they don't. They wait before they do it on screen because their market value goes down. It goes down because of the insecurities of the white supremacist males watching the porn. It fucks with their ego, knowing that they've been dug out by a black dude. But let's go to the Cosby thing. Now, with the whole Bill Cosby thing, again, I think it's all a farce. All of these women, they have questionable backgrounds. A lot of these women have been proven liars. They have seedy criminal backgrounds. So I don't believe them for the most part because there's no proof that Bill Cosby ever drugged them against their will and made them do anything. That's a long myth that's been going on, and they know that they can capitalize off that myth. Because we live in a system of white supremacy, and in the system of white supremacy, whatever the white supremacist says goes. You don't need proof. It's I say so, just like Neely Fuller says. It's because I say so, that's why you're guilty. Whereas you have white supremacist males out here confessing to rape and getting slaps on the wrist. Just like with Jared Fogel from Subway. They haven't sentenced him yet, but I think he's on house arrest now. And hey, they might give that dude probation or whatever. There was a case a few days ago in San Diego, right out here in California where I'm from. There was a white doctor, a male doctor, in El Cajon. And that's an area of San Diego. This dude would drug women, and this was at a low-income health clinic that he worked at. And many of the women were women of color. Some people say they were black. I know a lot of them were Hispanic, and I'm assuming that a lot of them probably were illegal aliens coming over. And this is probably why this guy thought he can get away with it, because they couldn't go to the authorities. So he's over here raping women of color left and right. This doctor, he confessed. This is not speculation. He confessed, and he had child pornography on his phone. He had like naked 8-year-old girls. So this was a big time perv. And I'm talking about he was straight penetrating pussy. It wasn't no groping this. And no, he was straight up raping women in this clinic. They were going to give this dude 25 years because these are serious charges. And this is California. In California, dude, they got laws now. They got laws out here. They lock brothers up for sagging pants. They lock brothers up out here. If you know a gang member, they'll lock you up out here if you black. If you know somebody who knows somebody who's a gang member, they'll lock you up if you black. If you wear any color out here, they can say that's a gang color and lock you up out here. This dude, they were supposed to give him 25 years. A judge came and threw that shit out just like that. A white female judge said, now, he's sick. He has kidney problem. It was some bullshit story they came up with. They said, well, he, because of his health, he's not going to get the proper health care in prison. So we're just going to give him a year probation. We're going to throw out the 25-year sentence. Give him a year probation. Give him a year on house arrest. And he'll be fine. That'll be his punishment. They literally gave this dude a slap on the wrist for raping a bunch of women of color out here. Dude, in a system of white supremacy, they can do that. In a system of white supremacy, they can do that. Whereas out here, And like I said before, I said this on Ustream, they're giving dudes out here pimps, they're giving them life sentences out here. They got Prop 35 where they give niggas out here, are you pimping? They're giving you life sentences out here. For just go telling a person to go have sex with somebody, they're giving you a life sentence, and they're giving these white supremacists slaps on the wrist for penetrating women and children. But again, that whole Othello thing, where they have to create the myth that black men had to drug women, and white women in particular, in order to have sex. There's a case right now, Derrick Rose, basketball player Derrick Rose. Now, Derrick Rose is accused of drugging a woman and raping her with some people. I think she said she was gang raped. This came out recently. TMZ was talking about this. Now, Derrick Rose was accused of having group sex with this woman. I don't know if these niggas was running trains on women, which is silly. Y'all niggas are too old and got too much money to be running trains on chicks. But Derrick Rose and one of his other partners or whatever, I think they had sex with this woman. And I'm assuming that the woman is white. And this is why. Number one, a lot of black women don't get to file cases like that because they don't want you to get the money. They don't want to transfer the money from one black person to another. The only time they'll take these cases to a higher court is when there's a white person involved. I'm assuming that this woman was white. I think it was a white woman because I looked at some of the paperwork. They listed her as a Jane Doe, but she said something in her paperwork that made me think, okay, this must be a white woman. She said, well, she didn't say something about it at first because this happened a while ago. But she said she didn't say anything at first because she was worried her conservative family would find out. And that sounds like a white girl right there. I don't see any black people talking about their conservative family. So she was talking about how her conservative family would find out and she was ashamed. So I'm thinking this was a white girl. And she used the whole, well, they drugged me and they did it against my will. So it's that whole Othello thing where they're trying to get their money game up. And brothers, y'all got to be very careful dealing with these white chicks out here. Fellas, y'all can't be running trains on these white chicks out here like that. It's 2015, dude. The game is rigged. They will say, these people will have consensual sex and say, hey, okay, let me cash in my white privilege. Because these white supremacist females, they know that they're going to be believed no matter what. They know in a system of white supremacy, people know that they're in a system of white supremacy. The only people who don't know that they're in a system of white supremacy are black folks. Black folks want to sit up and play this dumbass ego game. White supremacists, they know that they're in a system of white supremacy, and they utilize it to their advantage all the time. So they know their word is going to be believed over yours. So y'all got to stop playing this game and wake up, fam. Anyway, let me get one more call before I go. Don't forget, fam, go to TariqElite.com. Get all the Fresh Fly gear. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com today and get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. And the phone number is 818-850-5404, by the way. 818-850-5404. But again, the game is about wealth transfer. They want to take the wealth from one black person and take it to a white person. That's why these cases, with the whole Bill Cosby thing, they threw in a couple of token black women to make it seem like it's not racist. Them black women ain't going to get a dime if they get some money out of Cosby. They ain't going to get shit. They just use them as tools. What's up? Who's calling? Hello? Player, I'm trying to get one more call, and you calling with the janky phone? Let me get somebody else. This nigga called me from a goddamn T-Mobile flip phone. What's up? Who's calling? Okay, now I'm trying to get one more good call before I leave. And now we get the janky Boost mobile phone having niggas on here. Anyway, let me get up out of here, y'all. That's been today's show. I'm going to holler at you guys on Sunday. Y'all have a good evening, fam. And again, don't forget, go to TariqElite.com. Get that fresh gear.